If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
I shall start, and I guess this is the big breaking news of today, is Scotland's World Cup chances. Well, they're over anyway. Well, they're not, but they have to beat Samoa. But they're going to have to do it without Danny Brough and two others because they've been kicked out of the camp.
Yeah, it's terrible news, really. Apparently too drunk to board a flight. They're obviously flying back from Hamilton to Cairns, and they've been sent home by Scotland Rugby League in disgrace, essentially.
Yeah, Sam Brooks and Johnny Walker, the other two names, which I guess Johnny Walker's an ironic name in the case of what's happened here. But I guess for Scotland, after that heavy defeat against New Zealand, they were looking up against it against Samoa anyway, but certainly doesn't help their chances next weekend.
No, that's right. I did actually heard a bit of a whisper that there might have been some drinking out. Actually, heard it before the England game. So obviously there's been a couple of issues in the Scotland camp and things have just gone from bad to worse.
Indeed they have. On the field today, I guess the big game, as we all expected, came in Port Moresby. I guess with the way things have been going, they may have well played the whole World Cup there because another sellout crowd. And Papua New Guinea just sneaking past Ireland 14-6 and looking like they'll be taking their place in the quarterfinals.
Yes, it looks like Papua New Guinea versus England in the quarterfinals of Melbourne. It was quite a strange game. Ireland got off to a good start thanks to a PNG error, and then the Kumuls roared back, obviously, on the back of a very parochial crowd, and Gary Lowe scored a freakish try. I think he beat seven defenders when there was absolutely nothing on. So if you're a Castleford fan, you'd be very happy watching that game today.
The other results see Fiji smash Wales 72-6, which I guess was expected, and Italy beat USA 46-0. So USA, as expected, and Wales are knocked out of the tournament at this stage, but still to play for in that group. Fiji and Italy still battling out for the final place in Group D.
Yeah, it was a great move by Italy. They moved James Tedesco from fullback to standoff, and it really sort of sparked their attack. They looked a lot more fluid. They had Terry Campese ruled out with injury just before kickoff, and they lost Jack Johns after the first game. So they were a bit light in the halves, but it made a big difference having Tedesco there. And they played a lot better than the previous week, but you'd still think Fiji will have enough to get past Italy. They looked really good, Fiji, in the first two games, and just got attacking weapons all over the field.
We mentioned Scotland losing to New Zealand on Saturday. The biggest game, I think, in terms of everyone who's not English, and I think everyone who's English as well, was Samoa versus Tonga. And just a shame it was played just before the England-Lebanon game, because what a battle that was.
Yes, I was in Sydney for the England game and watching the Samoa-Tonga game in the press box before, and it was fantastic. I mean, the crowd, you could sense from the TV how passionate and excited the crowd was. It didn't stop the whole game, and the hits on the field were huge. Obviously, Tonga got the important win, but it was very close up until the last 10 minutes. Ben Roberts scoring late, and then I think it was Manu Ma'u getting the final try, which put it out, and now it all leads up to a huge game. Tonga and New Zealand are the winner for the top spot in that group. So that's going to be big for many reasons, but also with the defection of Jason Tamalolo, just gives it a little bit of extra spice.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking forward to that game over here. You mentioned you were at the Sydney Football Stadium, not the biggest crowd to watch England versus Lebanon, and not the greatest performance from England, but I guess they got the job done there.
Yeah, I think Lebanon surprised a lot of people with just how good they were. They obviously beat France in round one. I think they improved another gear after that, sort of a mixture of NRL players and part-timers and semi-pros, but it was I think one of the coldest days in November in Sydney ever, rain constantly, so the crowd was only just over 10,000, but very parochial Lebanese crowd, and England sort of got the job done in the first half and then went to sleep essentially in the second.
Some interesting team selections for that one, obviously with no James Roby, who was probably one of the players who was more impressive for England in the defeat against Australia, left out by Wayne Bennett for squad rotation reasons, he tells us. So how was Mr. Bennett after the game? He didn't say much to the BBC after on TV, but he never really does he?
No, that's exactly right. But he wasn't a happy camper after the game at all. It took him quite a little while to get warmed up, and even then he didn't get much warmer, to be honest. I think he was pleased with the first half, but not very pleased at all with the second half. And I think Sean O'Loughlin sort of echoed those comments. They were disappointed with the overall performance. They just need to be more consistent, and you know, to essentially be 6-6 in the second 40 minutes. Just not good enough against a team that hasn't been playing rugby league for more than 20 years and is ranked 18th in the world. I mean, you have to give credit to Lebanon because they did perform above expectations, but England were obviously expecting to post a much bigger score.
I know Scurry was very impressed with the coaching and the philosophy of Brad Fittler, even if he doesn't know what philosophy means. But I guess it's been a good World Cup for Freddie so far for coaching Lebanon for his future prospects.
Oh, definitely. Well, I think he seems to be in the box seat for the New South Wales job, and considering the sort of affection that he's had from the Lebanese supporters, I think he can probably run for mayor of Belmore or Beirut in the future as well. Lebanon seemed to play a very unusual sort of style, I guess, a very unstructured and a fluid to the game, and I think that did catch England unawares a bit. That was the message that some of the players were giving to me after the game. So it is great to see you really do get a mixture of styles and playing abilities at this World Cup, and it is interesting to see how they stack up, particularly with the likes of PNG, who just seem to play with such energy and enthusiasm around the ruck the whole time and somehow manage to keep it up for 80 minutes.
Well, the Lebanese Prime Minister resigned yesterday, so there's always a chance Freddie could go for that job. Well, I'm sure there'll be banners for their final game next weekend against Australia, which should be a fantastic atmosphere. And Australia, again, got the job done against a spirited France side who, despite losing their first two games, there appears to be signs of something of a rebirth of French rugby league.
Yeah, I went down to Canberra for that game, and I was quite impressed with the French for the first 40 minutes, particularly the amazing try that Mark can't pronounce his name right. Mark Kerala,
I think that's right.
Big fullback. Yeah, he scored an amazing try. But yeah, France really did have a dig. Australia, I think if they were in the mood, could have put a much higher score on. But France were very brave, and it was great to see. There has been a little bit of late mail just recently that Eloire Pelissier may have been sent home for breaking a curfew. So hopefully we don't have any more players being sent out from the World Cup before the end. We're only 2 weeks in. We're losing them like flies.
And I guess we're still waiting to see what will happen with the alleged bite by Jermaine McGilvey on Robbie Farrow, which I guess was the big story coming out of the England-Lebanon game.
Yeah, that was a really bizarre incident just a couple of minutes into the second half. I think it kind of put England a little bit off their rhythm for quite a while until that rampaging Tom Burgess try. But yeah, Robbie Farah sort of declined to talk about the incident much in the post game. He said it was pretty clear. Look at the video. He didn't retract the allegations. So obviously it goes to the match review panel. They'll be sitting tomorrow, and then potentially charges could be laid on Tuesday. So it could be worrying times for Jermaine McGilvery. I mean, it doesn't seem like the sort of thing he would do. Watching him play and knowing him a little bit. But, yeah, quite a bizarre part to the game.
Yeah, especially with the squad having very few wingers. But we shall see what happens next weekend should he be charged and banned for that incident. And you'll be pleased now, although the crowds haven't been great in Sydney, certainly the advertisers will be happy because the chips and gravy thing went absolutely mad on social media yesterday. So I'm sure the good people at that certain brand of fried chicken restaurant will be very happy with the publicity. Just a shame that none of us over here can get that $2.50 large chips and gravy we were all craving at 10 o'clock yesterday morning.
Well, you'd like to think that KFC England would jump in and maybe throw some money at rugby league and sponsor it and get involved, because obviously, I haven't seen any of those advertisements here on Channel 7, but They were all over social media, and it was also good to see that Scully's very sunburnt skin didn't dominate social media either. Hopefully he's going to make sure he puts on the sunscreen next time he's in the sun.
Yeah, fingers crossed. John, pleasure as always. Enjoy the next few days, and we shall catch up with you again soon.
No problem.